Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. You know me. I'm Ben Bolin. I do some stuff here at HowStuffWorks.com. And over here, let me introduce you to Scott Roundhouse Benjamin, the auto editor.
Right? Roundhouse.
Roundhouse. You
Roundhouse.
Like that?
I do like that. That's a good one.
I think we used it before.
Yeah.
Scott.
You know, I've threatened giving a roundhouse to somebody in the past.
Okay. Well, there's a leg to stand
just
on.
Just as a joke. Yeah.
There's precedent.
I could give you a roundhouse from right here.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Were you close enough?
No, I couldn't do it either.
Oh.
Way too much flexibility required for that.
See, maybe we should wait until you can do some pretty, like a pretty mean series of roundhouses.
Well, maybe I can. Who knows?
I hope I don't have to find out.
Maybe I'm sandbagging.
Maybe you are.
You never know.
We have done so many podcasts, and we have done at least several good ones, I would say. What do you think? Is that arrogant?
A couple.
Okay, a couple.
I'll give you a couple, yeah.
All right, that's being reasonable, sure.
Couple listenable ones.
Okay, yes, yeah, a couple listenable.
I'm kidding.
Scott, there's a friend of ours out there in the wide world of the internet, and his name is Adam. And Adam pointed out sort of an Achilles heel of our show.
Is it Adam West?
He didn't. It might be Adam West.
It might be.
He didn't put anything. Yeah. But he did write in, and he said, hey, do you guys ever cover high-speed boats? And then I thought, touche, Adam. We don't.
I don't think we have.
We haven't yet.
No.
And there's really no reason because boats, they do a lot of the same high-speed stuff that we love. They have, they have competitions. There are different boats based on performance. Mm-hmm. There are alternative ways of powering a boat, you know. And there are, of course, boat races.
Of course, yeah. It seems like we should have done this by this point. So we're going to make up for it.
We're going to try to get back in your good graces.
Yeah, exactly. Adam. We're going to do one today on offshore powerboat racing.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of laughing about this earlier before we started this, and I didn't tell you why I was because
no.
When I started to dig into offshore powerboat racing, I realized that this is kind of like when we do a podcast on drag racing or something like that, where there are so many classes and competitions and different levels that people can compete in, just you wouldn't believe the rules that are involved in each series, and there's no way that we can break down every single one of them, everything that series is all about, unless we focused on one and just kept it at that. So what I want to do is I think we want to talk about just offshore powerboat racing in general.
The big picture.
The big picture, kind of what they are, what they mean, what they do, you know, maybe a little bit of the history of them, some of the series that they're associated with, and just the general idea, like what's the point of an offshore boat race? Or, you know, some people may not even know what we're talking about. So it's exciting to watch, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, we can fix that first problem right now.
Okay.
So in an offshore boat race, what we're talking about, I know this is at least one type. The boats, the competing boats, leave the shore, the marina, the starting point.
Yeah.
And they go out a certain distance from the shore, at which point they have to turn around and return, and you don't win until you return, right?
Correct.
It's basically a loop.
Yeah, right. It's one big loop. Now, for spectators, unfortunately, that's not all that great to watch. You get to see them leave. You get to see them return, but you don't get to see anything in between. Now, if you're at home and you get to watch this on television,
they'll have a helicopter.
Exactly. They have helicopters flying right over top of these things. It looks like they're going to hit them. They're that close. I mean, I know that they're zoomed in with the cameras, but if you see, you know, one shot, because they have multiple helicopters covering this race, of course, which seems dangerous to me. But, you know, if you see a helicopter above the boat, they're really right on top of the boat. They're very close. But they're going through choppy, heavy ocean, sea water. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe these guys keep it in the water. It's unbelievable. You think they would flip just about every wave they hit because they're going speeds. Some of them are approaching 200 miles per hour. Now, I think that's mostly the hydroplane, the unlimited hydroplane type boats that we're talking about. But the ocean going boats, they get going rocket fast, Ben. I mean, they're really, really fast. And I don't know how the guys stay in the boat to begin with.
Or how the boat goes without flipping backwards.
Exactly. You
know, that's a very...
And it happens a lot.
There's a lot of time spent on that, though.
It happens a lot. Yeah. It happens often because they hit the wave the wrong way. I mean, it's really... It's not just pointing the boat in the right direction and giving it full throttle. Mm-hmm. These guys know exactly when and how to apply the throttle and how to hit that next wave that's coming and, you know, what to watch out for. There's a navigator that's with them,
mm-hmm.
Tells them where to go if they're getting off course. You know, they need to go, you know, X number of degrees left, right, you know, whatever. Port starboard, sorry. you know, it's just amazing when you see how little of the boat is actually in the water most of the time.
That's what gets me, and that's what leads us to the next question. What kind of boats are we talking about? Because when I hear someone say powerboat, mm-hmm. my natural inclination, now I'm not a boater, I'm not a yachtsman, I own neither a yacht nor a boat at this time, but one of the things I remember the most vividly is the very rear corner of the boat oftentimes being the only thing that's in the water,
yeah.
And then the top is coming out at sort of an acute angle,
mm-hmm.
and there's one person in the front, there might be another person with them, but you can see those zipping around a lot of lakes,
yeah.
especially in the southeast.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the type that we were talking about earlier was the type that are out in the ocean where they head out to sea. These guys will go literally like 85 miles out into the ocean and turn around a buoy and come right back.
Wow.
But recently they've had some that are more of a circuit course. You know, that, you know, you go, it's a like an oval-shaped course maybe that's near okay. the shore that goes along the length of the shore. So then spectators are able to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about boats like, you know, like the Miss Budweiser boat, you know, the
right.
the turbine powered, you know, yeah. the really fast, they usually call it like Thunder on the River type boats. when you see those boats, those are basically like a low flying aircraft, really. I mean, honestly, that's what they are because they're turbine powered. The only thing that's in the water most of the time is the prop. The front is really, it seems like it's out of the water almost mm-hmm. all the time. I don't know how they see to drive those things either. They're so fast. With a spray. Oh, what's that?
Scott, I have to interrupt with a yeah. tangent.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is so cool when you're talking about the Budweiser boat. That when you're talking about those boats, they're so powerful, the mm-hmm. turbine ones that are almost just planes that fly low on the water.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember those huge Russian-made things? They were like planes that use the ground air effect.
Yes. Yes,
to fly
I do.
On that.
I remember that. Yeah. I don't remember the name of them either.
Arachno Eret. They start with an E. We've got to do a show on those.
Okay.
That'll be a different thing.
Fair enough.
Good. I apologize for
write
the tangent.
Write it down, we'll do it.
I will write it down.
Honestly, that's a cool one. And let's see, lost my train of thought now, but that's okay. We don't want to talk about answer. we don't want to talk all about turbine boats, so I want to talk about the boats that are like the offshore type boats, mm-hmm. which are the ones that if I say to you cigarette boat, you can kind of picture what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Everybody, I think everybody at this point, it's kind of almost a household word, I think, at this point. That
yeah.
refers to the type of boat we're talking about. Extremely long, has just a relatively small cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they have a cabin, but the racing boats don't, of course. They're just, you know, purpose-built race boats. But these are sold for family, what they call family use, and they also call it, you know, for racing. But they're anywhere from like, I think I've seen them for like 28 feet up to about 50-some feet, like 52, 57, 60 feet long.
Wow.
They're super long boats, but they're extremely powerful. You know, you can get these for your family to go out on the lake, and I've seen, you know, the privately owned version, I guess, of this, you know, the weekend user, I guess.
Right.
And then there's also the you know, more purebred race version that, you know, is nothing but horsepower and it's bare essentials and it's just for racing. But if I mention cigarette boat, now cigarette is just a brand of boat. There's actually a company named Cigarette that builds boats. It's not a style of boat, it's just the brand. And it just happens to be a popular brand.
See, that's a misconception a lot of people have.
That all boats shaped like that are cigarette boats?
Right, all power boats shaped like that.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about. It's a very slender profile.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and some of them even have a catamaran design where it's two hulls
mm-hmm.
instead of the single hull. But really, that's just a type of – cigarette boat is a type of offshore boat. And there's other ones. There's some called fountain boats, formula boats. I think there's one called Active Thunder. There's also Outer Limits. There's just all different brands of boats. I mean, I guess any one of these could have been as popular as cigarette boat, but for whatever reason, that one just stuck. Cigarette. I don't know if they were the first or what. I'm not sure how that all came about, that cigarette became synonymous with that type of boat.
Which is, it's a weird name for a company to start off with.
It kind of is, yeah. Yeah, it really is. But, you know, once, but like I said, if I mentioned that, you probably could already picture what I was talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think a lot of listeners could.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different things we can talk about. I mean, they have endurance races a lot of the times. They travel, you know, 500 miles in a race, which is it's an incredible amount of distance on the water, really, if you think about it. Because a typical race you'd see on a lake or a river, maybe, you know, they do a few laps and that's about it. You know, a few miles at most. 500 miles in a boat, that's punishing, especially on these types where, you know, it's you and two or three other guys standing with, you know, helmets on, and you're trying to absorb all that shock and trying to adjust your weight. And
you might be, the weather might turn on you.
Exactly. Happens all the time.
Is that something we could talk about briefly before we move on just for a moment to give people... I really want people who are not familiar with boat racing to feel the impact of this, because we're all used to the idea of how punishing it is for a driver to be on the Indy 500, or how difficult it is to do Pikes Peak. And other races that are on the ground do have conditions that make it very, very difficult to succeed. But with boat racing, what we would think of as driving conditions or restrictions due to climate and terrain are totally different, man. You know, if the wind is going the wrong way when you're riding out or when you're boating along the shore in that oval we were talking about, it can completely obliterate your chances.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, and there's storms that come up. You know, you know how quickly a storm approaches over the water. Seems like it's there. You know, if you're just on a pleasure boat, you know, or you're just out for the day, storms appear quickly.
Yeah.
And I can imagine if you're headed towards that storm at 200 miles an hour, it's going to come up an awful lot faster than you would expect. Same thing, you can outrun a storm that quickly, I suppose. But the other thing is that coming back, you're probably going to be hitting your own wake as well as the wake of other racers.
Good point.
So the wake is going to be pretty intense on the way back. And if you're not the first boat or the second boat, maybe, you're going to be dealing with that all the way out and all the way back.
And there are also just as many safety concerns. They might be a little bit different, of course. A person cannot drown on a road rally, but they could in a boat race, conceivably, hopefully not. But then there are also similarities that we might not think of, you know, engine malfunctions that can become dangerous very quickly.
Sure.
That can definitely
occur. Yeah, because you could, I guess just like anything else, it could catch fire. You could have a fire on the boat, and then you're out in the middle of the ocean. Now, the good thing is that, you know, these are covered by the press, and know, there are other boats passing by, and I would think that, you know, and there are rescue boats.
Right.
So there's safety involved, but again, you're headed out, you know, 80, 100 miles out into the ocean and then back. A lot can happen in that space.
Yeah, but there's someone there with a helicopter. Don't be scared. You're not going to have to wait till you drift to the Gulf.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're really rescue helicopters or if they've just got a television camera. That's all. I'm sure that, you know, but the good thing is that, you know, they know where everybody is, where they should be at all times. You know, they're monitoring that carefully.
Yeah, and I just want to establish then, I know I'm taking us in a little different direction here, that these boat racers are professionals on the same level that you would see in an automobile race. You know, it's like you and I driving our vehicles. I don't think that properly prepares us for driving.
No. It's not like you could go from, you know, driving your pontoon boat around, you know, Lake Alatoona and then head out onto the ocean and pilot one of these things. It's just not possible. You'd have to have a lot of training in order to do something like this. And not just that, I mean, you have to have the mechanical know-how and know exactly, you know, what conditions to watch for. The navigator has to have, you know, the ability to navigate at speeds like that, at, you know, great distances like that quickly. There's just a lot of skill involved. These guys are really pros, pros.
Why I'm going to say something that may be a little bit controversial. I believe that an endurance race in a boat for that amount of time and distance is more difficult than an endurance race in a car.
Really?
Because in a car, if something breaks down, you can always get out of the car that you cannot get out of the boat.
No, I guess you could float around for a little while.
You could float for a bit, yeah.
Yeah, sure. You could float there and let somebody tow you back in, but there's no pit stops. That's one
thing.
There's
no pit stops, yeah. There's no garage to pull in.
500-mile race. I don't think they stop for fuel. Maybe I'm wrong, because these things have enormous fuel tanks. I know
right, they have to.
Huge
yeah.
fuel tanks.
Because they don't have the most fuel-efficient engines.
No,
either.
They don't. In fact, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned engines, because I have one example here that I'd like to read. I was looking on a site that sells race boats.
Oh, yeah?
And they have this will give you an idea also. This is a price from a 1992 boat. Now, it's a current price. You know, the boat is currently for sale. You could buy it right now, if it hasn't been sold by the time this podcast airs. It's for a 1992 47-foot Apache race/pleasure boat. Ooh. So, again, this one could be raced, could be a weekend toy for somebody, okay? Let's see. It's in Fort Lauderdale, so it's in the right place.
Yeah. And
it's out right there on the
near
ocean.
The water.
Again, race pleasure boat, 47 feet long. It has three inboard engines.
Three?
Three. Now, are you ready for this? Now, they have other ones that have other, you know, boats have, you know, single, double, triple. Yeah. There's even four-engine boats. These three engines each produce 1,050 horsepower.
I wasn't ready. When you asked me if I was ready, I think I messed up. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's crazy.
You weren't ready for that.
I wasn't.
Because three 1,000-horsepower engines, 1,000-plus horsepower engines. And so these three engines, they're 653 cubic inches. They're supercharged, fuel-injected engines. The cost of this boat, Ben, is – now, remember, 1992 boat. So this is how old is that? That's nearing 20 years old. That's 18 years old.
It's gently used.
Yeah, gently used. $300,000.
$300,000?
$300,000, which to me, that seems like a lot of money. But
it's like $100,000 an engine.
Yeah, that's right. If you want to look at it that way, I guess so. But I'm telling you, like, that's the kind of the level that you're talking about here. So if you got a boat that – imagine a boat that's 18 years newer – has new technology, new engines, maybe four engines, more horsepower, you know, all the bells and whistles and gadgets and latest tech. I could imagine that it gets close to the $1 million mark.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Do you think that these boats, surely these racing teams, just like in another kind of race, would have sponsors?
Yes. Yeah, of course they do. They race in different series that, you know, of course there's the series sponsor, then there's individual sponsors.
Right.
So, you know, But there's a few that I had marked here. There's the OPA, which is the Offshore Powerboat Association. There's APBA, which is the American Powerboat Association. And then there's the OSS, which is the Offshore Super Series. And there's a few of these different groups. But it's kind of like I said, it's like drag racing, where within those groups and other groups like those, there's unlimited hydroplane. There's single V hull. There's catamaran classes. There's single, double, tri-engine classes. There's, you know, just all different groupings of these things. And there's also, you know, there's novice levels, there's intermediate levels, there's professional levels.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be broken up in so many different ways that it's just impossible to get our hands around all of it at one time. Just, again, a quick overview on this stuff. So
yeah,
hopefully, you know, I'm hitting the high points here. Like I said, they get up to 200 miles an hour.
Right.
They're big, they're fast, they're expensive, they're I don't know, pretty cool looking boats. What else can we add to that?
I can add, well, the question we usually touch on at the end of these kind of episodes.
I knew you were going to ask this.
You know what
it
is.
Yeah, sure. Would I drive one or would I buy one?
Yeah,
is
either
it
or.
One of the same? Is
either
it one of the same?
Yeah, when, I don't want to pigeonhole you, man.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I don't want to restrict your
be
creativity.
Nice to have the kind of cash to own and operate one. You know, like have a team that goes out and races for you.
Because operation is expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, to be able to have a team to go out and race this thing for you and just bring the check home.
Yeah.
Very nice. It would also be fun to be on one, I think. I'd like to try it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I don't think I'd like to do it regularly just because of the law of averages, you know.
Oh, yeah, diminishing returns, right?
To me, it seems like, you know, you're eventually – and this is bad. I shouldn't maybe say
this. This is just personal opinion.
My personal opinion. I feel like if I was out there enough times, something would happen. Like I would be on one of the boats that flipped. I would be on one of the boats that had engine malfunction, a fire. Something like that would happen.
Because that time you killed that albatross?
Shark attack, something like that. That albatross, yeah. Still hanging around my neck until this rope rots away.
I was wondering about that. I've never asked you about that.
Yeah, the albatross.
It looks weird in pictures.
Yeah, it smells a little funny.
I've grown used to it. It reminds me of you. It's nice. Dude, since I was a wee youngin' in Tennessee, I've always wanted a boat, preferably a speedboat,
mm-hmm.
Or a cigarette boat. But I've also heard them called cigar boats.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that term.
I think that that was someone who got cigarette boat wrong. And was maintaining it.
Got
but
it.
I would totally, you know, this actually is one of the races that I would pick this race over any other race we've talked about.
No kidding.
That's how much I like boats.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
And you don't have to worry about a lot of things.
Now, in that same vein, would you like a standard, not a standard, but, you know, just a smaller boat that you could just take out to the lake and kind of mess around with on the weekend?
Yeah, why not? I'd still be thinking, should I have spent this money? Should I have just saved this money for that power boat?
Really?
That I really want? Yeah. Man. I didn't know how much.
You know, one kind of boat that I would love to own, while we're on the topic, I might as well just get this out. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they look like the little hydroplane racers that you see on the lakes and rivers, only they're probably about 6 or 7 feet long at the most. But they have the exact same shape, and they're run by a little outboard motor, maybe a 20-horsepower motor or something like that, 30-horsepower.
Yeah.
And you sit basically on top of the thing. It's really small. It's single person, little tiny wheel, little hydroplane-type boat. I would love to have one of those because they're really fast.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a lot of fun. I had an uncle that raced them in Michigan long time ago. He and his son used to build these in their garage and then race them on the lake. And I find a lot of times I'll find old plans, you know, for these types of boats that you can build in your garage, you know, just using not tools you find around the house, but similar. You know, you can you buy the wood, you buy the right stuff. You can build one of these relatively low cost. It'd be a fun project, I think.
I would, it'd be, you know what, honestly, if we lived closer to a larger source of water, I probably would do some sort of boating activity.
Yeah, well, here in Atlanta, down here in Georgia, I mean, in the south, we've got a much longer season than we do up north, and in Michigan, everybody's got a boat, everybody's got a motorcycle, too, but the season seems to be about 3 or 4 months long, and that's unfortunate, because they've got so many great lakes and so many beautiful drives they can take on motorcycles, and down here, you know, it's still beautiful, don't get me wrong, but we just don't have the lakes like they do.
That's true. There are actually I think there are no natural lakes in Georgia.
Really?
I think they're all man-made.
All reservoir?
Yeah, I think that may be incorrect. A state park person told me that, but maybe they were just messing with me.
Maybe. That's interesting, though. I'll have to look into that.
But another thing that we should look into before we go, Scott, I don't think we can do any listener mail today because we have some stuff to tell people.
Nah, we talked way too long.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, we're going to have to wrap this one up. And before we go, I want to let you know, Scott, I think you're on board with this, that we do have a Twitter and a Facebook page now. Which, of course, is just the name of the show in the search bar of Facebook or in the search bar of Twitter. And we'll tell you things that are interesting and not boring. And we won't spam you.
Exactly. And I won't be up in there, you know, telling you when I just had a sandwich or something like that. It'll be automotive-related stuff that's kind of cool.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.